The Wonderful Benefits of Praying in Tongues. Audiobook by Ashish Rai Chur. Chapter 1. Praying in Tongues, an Introduction. As a young boy, attending Sunday school at All Souls Church, Coimbatore, part of the Church of South India, and then later worshipping with my family at the Richmond Town Methodist Church, Bangalore, I was never really exposed to the move and work of the Holy Spirit and His gifts, as seen in the New Testament. I really enjoyed Sunday school at All Souls Church and the vacation Bible schools that were held during summer at the Methodist Church, and am very grateful for what was sown into my life through these churches. However, it was during my 8th grade at Bishop Cotton Boys School, Bangalore, just before my 13th birthday, that one of my teachers at school, Mr. Andrew Taylor, led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing spectacular happened that afternoon, as he led me in a simple prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, sitting in the vestry of St. Peter's Chapel. But even in the absence of any kind of emotion, any kind of feeling, something deep, something so definite and so powerful took place within me. I was born again. And with it, I do not know where it came from, but I suddenly had this unexplainable desire to love and seek after Jesus Christ. I faithfully went back to the chapel each afternoon during lunch break to join other boys in prayer. Soon I started reading my Bible and began to devour it. I enjoyed reading the Bible and just wanted more. I would wake up early in the morning just to read my Bible and pray, and this early morning time just kept growing. About a year later, Mr. Andrew Taylor told some of the boys who were attending the afternoon prayer group he was leading that he was going to take us to a church where we were going to be prayed for, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He shared a few scriptures on what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. We were all excited. I took this very seriously and spent a lot of time reading up scriptures on this and what happened in the early chapters of the book of Acts. The day finally came, a Saturday, when he took some of us young boys to an Assemblies of God church on Gospel Street in Bangalore. What I do remember was that the church met in a tin shack, as I think at that time the church building was under construction. This was my very first time in an Assemblies of God church, and I had no idea what to expect. The meeting began with some singing. The volume was turned up too loud, almost deafening, sounded like cacophony to me, and I was so glad when the singing was over. The preaching was all noise to me, the loudspeakers combined with the fact that I was just not used to listening to someone preach that way. And then came the time when some of the people started praying for us boys. It seemed to be total chaos, all noise, and I had no clue what to expect or what to say. It is not because they were wrong, just that I had not been exposed to such things before. They told us to just speak it, just say it, and I really wished I could, except that I did not know how. All I remember was that I muttered one unintelligible syllable, and even that I was confused as to whether I made that sound up or if that was really God. I was just waiting for the service to get over, and was so glad when it did. I went home that evening, relieved to be in a place of quietness, trying to process what I had seen and heard, and yet even more determined that I was going to experience the reality of what Jesus said He would provide for His disciples. As I sought God alone, in quietness kneeling by my bedside, and in the simplicity of the faith of a 14-year-old, I began to speak in other tongues. I did not understand everything, but just took baby steps of faith and began to mutter what seemed to be coming up from within me. However, there were so many thoughts and questions racing through my mind. Am I making this up? How do I know this is the Holy Spirit? What use is this if I do not understand what I am saying? I do not feel anything spectacular, unusual, or supernatural when I am speaking in tongues. Am I supposed to? I seem to be repeating the same or similar sounds. Am I really speaking a language? So many questions that almost seemed to eradicate whatever childlike faith I had. But my resolve was simple: if it is in the Bible, and if Jesus said it, and the disciples had it, then it must be true. I am staying with this truth. As I began to study God's Word further, I was even more convinced that what I was experiencing and practicing was truly of God. The Word of God began to eliminate all doubt and fear. It was the understanding gained from the Word of God about praying in tongues and learning about the wonderful benefits of praying in tongues that took me past the place of questions and doubts. I have been praying in tongues ever since, and this kind of prayer occupies most of my prayer time. It is such a joy to be able to spend many hours in continuous prayer, just praying in the Spirit. You can do it too. In this chapter, some common questions on praying in tongues are examined and biblical answers to these are provided in a simple and easy-to-understand format. The terms speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in the Spirit are used interchangeably in this book, and unless explicitly stated otherwise, in all cases it means praying in tongues. There are several verses that will be quoted repeatedly to highlight different points borne out in the same verses. Question 1. What is praying in tongues? This is one of the basic questions that believers often ask. What is this tongues all about, or some may use the term in Greek, glossolalia? Praying in tongues is speaking in an unlearned language which could be tongues of men and of angels. Praying in tongues is a supernatural gift of God and not something we acquire through the natural process of learning. Some are linguists, those who have the natural skill to learn and work with several languages. Several people demonstrate this, even those who are unsaved, but they do not necessarily use their skills for God's purposes. However, the speaking in tongues that the New Testament refers to is not the natural language skill that an individual has, but a supernatural impartation of one or more languages given by the Holy Spirit to serve the purposes of God here on earth. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost when the 120 Jewish believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. The Jews who were residing in various other parts of the Middle East, who had come into Jerusalem at that time to celebrate the harvest festival or feast of Pentecost, were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born?" Acts chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Later on in his epistle to the Corinthians, Apostle Paul refers to speaking in tongues and states, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He is not deriding the use of tongues or any of the spiritual gifts, or the good works we are to do. He is simply stating the higher place of walking in love, as emphasized in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, even while we do all the other things God has called us to do. So, with reference to tongues, Paul says that we could be speaking in earthly languages or in the language of angels. God understands all languages, both of men and of angels, and so He understands every word that is spoken. Another comment we could make here is that if a believer was speaking in tongues and was speaking in the language of angels, there would be no other person who could interpret that language unless they too receive a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit for interpretation. Praying in tongues is prayer enabled by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 from the Amplified Bible. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. When we pray in tongues, our spirits pray enabled by the Holy Spirit. The source of the language, the words, and information is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit releases this to our spirits. By faith and as an act of our wills, we speak this out, and from our spirits these words flow out through our vocal organs, and therefore comes forth in the tone, frequency, pitch, and volume that we provide. So, the content of the prayer comes from the Holy Spirit, and we just partner with Him in praying what He desires for us to pray. Hence, praying in tongues is prayer that is enabled by the Holy Spirit. During this time, our minds do not comprehend what is being prayed for, hence our understanding is unfruitful. When we pray in tongues, the mind takes a break, because it is our spirits enabled by the Holy Spirit that pray. Praying in tongues is a God-given way to speak directly to God, and He understands what is being said. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The primary purpose of praying in tongues is for us to speak not to men but to God. Speaking in tongues is given to us mainly as a prayer language. While there are other expressions of speaking in tongues, as we will mention later, the primary purpose, as indicated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, is for this to be a way for us to commune with God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, Apostle Paul describes how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses by helping us pray as we ought by Spirit-inspired intercession that is expressed with groanings that cannot be uttered, that is, groans that are unintelligible. We know that we are participating and engaging with the Holy Spirit in making this intercession, because in verse 27, Paul says that God looks into our hearts and He understands what the Spirit is expressing. So, the key point from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 is that when I pray with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am interceding, often with unintelligible sounds. God, who looks into my heart, understands everything that is being expressed and released through this intercession. All that is being said and expressed in this intercession is according to the will of God. And finally, interceding and praying in this manner with the help of the Holy Spirit is a way for me to receive help from the Holy Spirit to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh, to crucify the sinful deeds of the flesh as stated in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Praying in tongues is speaking mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. When we pray in tongues, we speak mysteries. Mysteries are things unknown to the human mind, but known to the Spirit of God. There could be things that have happened in the past, happening in the present, or going to happen in the future which I know nothing about. There could be things about myself or about someone else that needs to be prayed about, but my mind is not aware of this. When I pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows all things, He can release a prayer and intercession through me for that very thing. For instance, assume there is something important coming up in the life of someone I know in the coming weeks that I may have no idea about. But when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit can lift up a prayer through me for that person's need, something I have no knowledge of, and often I may not even be aware of having prayed for that need. But the job is done. The word mystery is used in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, to refer to the hidden wisdom, plans, and purposes of God. It refers to the things which God has prepared for us, things which human eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor man imagined. These are the deep things of God which are all known to the Spirit. So, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray the hidden wisdom of God, the plans and purposes of God, and the deep things of God. We are not praying or speaking these mysteries to God to inform Him about these, since He already knows it all. Instead, we are praying these mysteries for reasons that have to do with us here on earth. First, I believe, we pray these mysteries, so that these can be done here on earth, as it is in heaven. God has purposed these things for us, and we pray them here on earth with the help of the Holy Spirit when we pray in tongues. Second, we pray these mysteries, so that these can be revealed to us by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Our spirits gain understanding of the wisdom, plans, purposes, and deep things of God. Praying in tongues is also referred to as praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14-16. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say Amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice how Paul uses the terms pray in a tongue, pray with the Spirit, sing with the Spirit, and bless with the Spirit, to refer to the same expression of speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues is also referred to as praying in the Spirit, since our spirits are enabled by the Holy Spirit when we pray. In the New Testament, wherever we read Paul referring to praying in the Spirit, he always meant praying in tongues. This is the only way the early church understood it. From what we know, the New Testament was essentially written after the day of Pentecost and hence by tongue-talking Christians. So, what was written and the language used came from believers for whom speaking in tongues was a normal thing to do. The Apostle Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament, said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all," 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Therefore, it is safe to conclude that the term praying in the Spirit does not mean just praying with greater fervency, or deeper emotion, or with more energy, as some would explain it to be. To pray in the Spirit means to pray in tongues, although this may also be accompanied by intensity, passion, fervor, emotion, energy, unintelligible groaning, and so on. Question 2. What are diversities of tongues? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4-6. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The words diversities and differences in the above verses are the same Greek word diaresis, which mean distinctions, differences, distributions, varieties, multiple, numerous, different types. There are diversities of gifts, but the same source, the Holy Spirit. The word gift is from the Greek word charismata, that means a spiritual endowment, a divine gratuity, a free gift. The same Holy Spirit is the source of all these gifts. Diversities of administrations. The word administrations is from the Greek word diakonia, that means service rendered by a servant, ministries, offices, and so on. The same Lord is being served. Diversities of operations. The word operations is from the Greek word energema, that means the effect of a thing wrought, from energio, to operate, perform, energize, operation, working. The same God is at work. The same gift, for example, tongues, can be used in a variety of services and ministries with a variety of operations, each producing a different effect or outcome. For example, the gift of leadership can be used in a variety of services. Somebody may serve as a cell group leader, another as a praise and worship leader, someone else as leader of the hospitality ministry, another as leader of publications, and so on. Each one of these is a different service, but the same Lord is being served. The gift of leadership is operating in each of these services, although the output of the operation is different in each case. The cell group leader cares for the cell group, and the worship leader takes care of the worship. In the case of the worship leader, the output and operation is worship. So, the same gift, leadership, can be used in a variety of services to result in a variety of operations. Similarly, the gift of tongues can be used in a variety of services or ministries resulting in a variety of operations, workings, or outputs. Sometimes we mistakenly think there is only one kind of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues. Some people also mistakenly think that tongues serve only one kind of purpose. Rather, tongues are used in a variety of administrations, services, and ministries. Depending on which ministry it is being used for, the purpose of tongues is different. Some people mistakenly think that tongues operate only in a certain way. However, tongues can be operated in different ways, each producing a different effect or outcome. We do not put apples, tomatoes, and oranges in the same basket and just call everything as apples. That would create a lot of confusion. We must understand the distinction between the use of tongues in different administrations and operations. Kinds of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues. They have the same source, the Holy Spirit, but they differ in their service and operation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Kinds in Greek, genos, is same as kin, a different offspring of the same stock, countrymen, kindred, diversity, and so on. For instance, consider a family of 6 children. They could each be different, but they are from the same family. So also, we have different kinds of tongues, different in operation and so on, but they come from the same Holy Spirit. Here are a few kinds of tongues, but it is not necessarily a complete list. 1. Tongues is a personal prayer language, available for all believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 4. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. This kind of tongues is available for all believers and is used in our personal prayer lives as a means for us to pray the mysteries of God. This need not be interpreted because it is between the believer and the Lord. Since God is the audience, there is no need for interpretation. The believer prays to God and no one else needs to understand. 2. Tongues for interpretation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 and verses 27 through 28. Therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray, that he may interpret. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be 2 or at the most 3, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Another kind of tongues is when a message is given to the congregation or gathering in tongues. This is a message given to an audience in tongues and must be interpreted. This is very specific and is different in its service to bless the audience. There are instructions concerning tongues for interpretation, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13 and verses 27 through 28. 3. Tongues for deep intercession. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is yet another variety of tongues and differs from tongues for personal prayer or public interpretation. This kind of tongues is used in intercession and is often accompanied by unintelligible groans or deep emotion. This is used in intercession for us or for other saints. This deep intercession is also used in overcoming weaknesses of the flesh, as is the context in Romans 8. For tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers but for those who believe. Acts chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Here is another kind of tongues that is directed as a sign to unbelievers. There could be so many ways in which this sign could take place. For example, consider you are in China. And as the Holy Spirit wills, He can release a Chinese language through you wherever you are. You may be able to speak the most fluent Chinese and yet not be aware of what you are saying. It may make sense to the people listening to you, while you yourself do not understand what you are saying. In the end, you may even be able to lead people to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, while being totally unaware of what you may have said. This is an illustration of how tongues operate as a sign for unbelievers. This is what happened in the day of the Pentecost when they were all able to speak in the language of their audience. This type of tongues is not used in every worship service or in personal prayer times. 5. The ministry gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. In this verse, Apostle Paul is talking about specific ministry gifts, also referred to as ministry offices or ministry functions, that have been specifically given to some and appointed in the body of Christ. One of these offices has to do specifically with the use of the varieties of tongues. This is the use of speaking in tongues used by those who have been set apart in this function. Just as every person can teach the word, but only a few are called to be in the office of a teacher in the body of Christ, so also, all believers can pray in tongues, but only some believers will be set in the body in the ministry function of diversities of tongues. This is true, also for other ministry gifts or functions, for example, apostle, prophet, teacher, and so on. Why is it important for us to understand the five diversities of tongues? Because it is important to understand the way tongues flow, the purpose they serve, and the effect they bring. The guidelines for their use in each of the above are different. Sometimes people tend to take the guidelines meant for the tongues for interpretation and apply it for every other kind of tongue. That would not fit. We need to be able to discern what is in operation and apply the right rules for that. Tongues could also be categorized or classified based on their benefits and so on. Question 3. Can every believer pray in tongues? This is another common question that people ask. And the answer is yes. Every believer can pray in tongues, although we know that not all believers do. It is just like the gift of salvation. Every person can be saved, although we know that not all end up being saved. The basis for saying that every believer can pray in tongues. Because Jesus said that believers will speak with new tongues. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe, in my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. Jesus promises that the ability to speak with new tongues is for everyone who believes. He did not mention anything about how long someone should have believed, but simply states that it is for all those who believe. Because of the promise of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my menservants and on my maidservants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise of the Spirit is for everyone. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, God says that He will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Because He said all, everyone qualifies to receive the gift. Also in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, Peter states that the promise is for as many as the Lord will call. The promise is for everyone whom the Lord God will call. What happens after those who believe receive the promise? In the consequent records in the book of Acts, there are five cases of people receiving the promise of the Spirit, and in all the five cases people either spoke in tongues immediately or soon after. Every time the promise of the Spirit was received in the book of Acts, the recipients immediately spoke or eventually spoke in tongues. Only in one case, Acts chapter 8, there is no mention of tongues, but something supernatural did happen that someone wanted to buy that gift with money. But otherwise we read that people who received the gift of the Spirit spoke in tongues either immediately or eventually. So why should we think now that God suddenly stopped doing that, when there is nothing in the New Testament to state that God would stop pouring out His Spirit or stop giving the gifts of His Spirit to the church? Now I realize that some people would quote 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 and 10, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." They would refer to the completed scriptures from the Bible as that which is perfect and state that since we now have the canon of Scripture, we no longer need the gifts of the Spirit, for example, prophecy and so on. However, Scripture must be interpreted in the light of the rest of Scripture. What does the rest of the New Testament teach? First, we see that Christ has appointed ministry gifts for the church for the maturing and equipping of the believers, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. We will all agree that these are still in effect since believers still need to be matured and equipped. The functioning of these ministry gifts has not been withdrawn from the church. Among these ministry functions are miracles, gifts of healings, and varieties of tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. So, speaking in tongues has not ceased yet. Second, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission still needs to be fulfilled, and so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is still in effect with all its accompanying power and work. God is still pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. So that which is perfect can only refer to the coming of the Lord Himself. This bears clear testimony with 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Because of the admonition concerning spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. "But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1, 5 and 39. "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues." Paul exhorts us to desire spiritual gifts and to walk the more excellent way of love. If all believers are to walk the more excellent way of love and to pursue love, then all believers are to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. So it is up to us. All believers can desire to pray in tongues, just as all believers can walk in love, if they choose to. That is why we can say that every believer can pray in tongues. Because of the admonition concerning prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Jude chapter 1, verse 20. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul writes to the church in general, instructing all believers to pray always in the Spirit. And we know that praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. It is interesting to note that he is addressing his epistles to all the believers in general, urging them to pray in the Spirit, and not just to a group of people who have received the gift of tongues. Hence, all believers can pray in the Spirit. Question 4. But what about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? While we have several reasons to believe that praying in tongues is for all believers, let us clarify 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, which may be misunderstood because Paul says that not everyone prays in tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28, Paul begins by saying, "And God hath appointed these in the church." These are specific appointments of specific individuals to specific functions in the body of Christ, and hence these are not accessible to all believers. Paul is talking about specific ministry gifts or ministry functions in the body of Christ, and not about the general ministry of believers. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 does not refer to the spiritual gifts previously listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Which are available for all believers, but about specific ministry appointments in the body of Christ. The question, "Can all speak in tongues?" must be understood in the context of specific ministry appointments and not regarding the gifts of the Spirit. The general tendency is to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 30 hastily and conclude that everyone cannot speak in tongues. All believers can teach the word, but that does not mean all believers who teach the word have been set in the church in the ministry appointment of a teacher. All believers can help, but that does not mean all believers who help have been set in the church in the ministry of helps. All believers can pray in Jesus' name for miracles and healings, but that does not mean all believers who pray for miracles and healings have been set in the church in the ministry appointment of miracles and gifts of healings. Similarly, all believers can speak in tongues, but only some have been set in the ministry function where they operate in the diversities of tongues. Only some people have been set in the church where they have a ministry, service, and administration that involves diversities of tongues. Question 5. Does tongues always have to be understood or interpreted? As mentioned in an earlier section, there are different kinds of tongues. Not all kinds of tongues need to be interpreted. It is only when tongues is used to bring a message from God to an audience or tongues for interpretation, does it have to be interpreted. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 6 to 13 and 18 to 19 and 27 to 28. But keep in mind that tongues as a sign for the unbeliever, even though not understood by the speaker and even perhaps by others in the audience, will be understood by the specific unbeliever that God is addressing through those tongues that are intended as a sign to them. Question 6. Can I pray in tongues at any time I want to? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Yes. The same will that we use to pray with our understanding can be exercised to pray and sing in the Spirit at our will, anytime, anywhere. Therefore, certain kinds of tongues, such as tongues as a personal prayer language, tongues to pray, sing, bless, intercede, can be exercised at will, when and where the believer desires to do so. But what about 4 to 1 is given, as he wills? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7-11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Several things that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians have to do with a congregational setting, when they are gathered to worship, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, to have the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 and 20, and so on. So also the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 is in the context of a congregational setting and all flow together in thought. Hence, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7-11, must be understood primarily, although not exclusively, from a congregational setting, that is, with respect to a particular instant in time, and not in terms of ability to manifest the gifts. In a particular meeting when they are gathered, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, different gifts are distributed by the Spirit, to different people, as the Spirit wills. In a subsequent meeting the distribution may be different, that is, one who had words of knowledge in one meeting may manifest gifts of healings in another. So, extending this, all believers can have all manifestations or gifts of the Spirit over different points in time. These gifts are released through the believer as the Spirit wills. While it is as He wills, we also have a very important role to play, which is to earnestly desire the gifts. Believers are told to covet the best gifts and to desire spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Obviously, there are no restrictions here, implying that a believer can desire any of the listed 9 gifts of the Spirit. We are to desire the best gifts. The best gift is the gift that is best suited for the situation. The best gifts are the gifts most suited for the occasion where we are to serve and minister. Nowhere in the Scripture is there a mention of Paul writing to believers to desire only one gift. Instead, he tells them to desire the best gifts. So, if I meet a person who is sick, the best gifts to desire would be gifts of healings, faith, and working of miracles. If I meet a person who is healthy physically, but discouraged due to problems in life, then the best gifts would be prophecy, gift of the word of wisdom to find a solution to the problem, and so on. Our desire works in cooperation with the Holy Spirit's will. It is no longer a problem with the Holy Spirit's willingness. He is more than willing to manifest the gifts, meet the needs of people, and glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is willing, are you? Question 7. Do I need to scream, shout, shake, and be weird to pray in tongues? The release of the gifts is in the control of the vessel through whom the Holy Spirit desires to work. I will pray with the Spirit. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 15 and 32. Since it is in the control of our wills, we can determine how we conduct ourselves when we pray in tongues. We control the words, the volume, the actions, and the delivery of the gift of the Spirit. So, we do not necessarily need to wait for some spectacular feeling or emotion, and neither do we need to put on a show of such feelings or emotions. Let us just remain genuine. It is a common occurrence among some Pentecostal and charismatic circles that when speaking in tongues, people whip themselves into a frenzy, flailing arms and legs, screaming uncontrollably, trying to let themselves go and giving up control of themselves. Not only is this unnecessary and chaotic, but also dangerous. When we give up control of ourselves, we unnecessarily expose ourselves to being taken up and influenced by demonic spirits. If this continues, it can easily lead to demonic deception and oppression. Hence, such practices must be strongly discouraged. We must help people understand how to yield to the Spirit of God. Yielding to the Spirit of God is an act of our wills, where we choose to flow together with Him, in cooperation with Him, and in doing what He is prompting us to do. So normally we are not losing control of ourselves, unless of course we are struck to the ground with a light from heaven like Paul was in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Rather, we are bringing control of ourselves under the influence of the Holy Spirit so that overall, He moves us in cooperation with our wills. Question 8. Can I pray in tongues in church when all are gathered together? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 23 and 27 through 28. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Yes, we are free to pray in tongues in a group setting, so long as we keep it between God and us without becoming disorderly and disruptive, verse 28. So, if there is an unbeliever or someone who has not been to a church service and does not understand what is going on, he will not be confused, verse 23. Assume you are in a smaller group and everyone in the group knows about speaking in tongues, then you can be free to raise your voice when you are praying in tongues. However, if you were to deliver a message in tongues, it should be interpreted, verse 27. The motive of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 23, is that we should be sensitive to those around us and not as a rule whether we should or should not speak in tongues. Question 9. Is it all right if I pray in tongues a lot? Yes. The Corinthian church was a church that was very zealous for spiritual gifts. Paul commented while teaching them on spiritual gifts, "Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12. When they came together to worship, everyone seemed eager to express some spiritual gift, and so Paul instructed, "How is it then, brethren? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. To such a people who probably spoke in tongues a lot and flowed in other gifts a lot, the Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all," 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 18. So, Paul obviously spoke in tongues a lot. Question 10. Is it me speaking in tongues or is it the Holy Spirit speaking through me? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When you speak in tongues, it is you who is speaking. It is an act of your will. It is your vocal organs that are being used, and it is your own voice, volume, and speed. It is just that the Holy Spirit gives you the words, the content, of what you are saying through your spirit. So do not expect the Holy Spirit to suddenly take control of your tongue, flap it about, and cause words to spill out. That will not happen. You must speak as an act of your will, what the Holy Spirit gives you to speak. Chapter 2. The Wonderful Benefits of Praying in Tongues. Here are some wonderful benefits of praying in tongues. Praying without boundaries. When we pray in a language known to us, we can only pray according to what we know. But when we pray in tongues, our spirits pray mysteries enabled by the Holy Spirit. So, the source of that prayer is the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God knows all things. So, it is amazing that we can pray for people whom we do not know because the Holy Spirit can lift up a prayer through us for someone whom we do not know. We would be praying the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Our entire prayer lives are expanded and now limitless. If this, our prayer lives being limitless, is the only benefit of praying in tongues, that should be enough for us to be motivated to speak in tongues. However, there are more benefits. Praying according to God's perfect will. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Most often when we pray in a known language, we do not know if what we are praying for is the perfect will of God. But the Holy Spirit can never contradict or go against the will of God. So when we are praying in tongues, we can be assured that every second spent praying in tongues has been absolutely in line with the will of God. Helps us overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word help means to take a hold of together with you against your weaknesses. So, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to. For example, if we have a weakness in us and do not know how to get rid of it, we can pray in tongues, and as we continue to pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will help us conquer it. John the Baptist said that Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Spirit in fire, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. The baptism in fire at a personal level has to do with the burning up of the chaff, the things of the flesh. Builds us up spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in an unknown tongue, we are in fact edifying ourselves, building ourselves up in our most holy faith. Some of us yearn to be built up spiritually. But what do we do to reach there? One of the ways God has given for us to be strengthened in our spirits is through praying in tongues. This way, we are strengthened by the Spirit in our inner man, as it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Keeps us walking in the love of God. Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, we can keep walking in the love of God. This is an obvious outcome when the works of the flesh are dealt with and put out of the way. Brings rest and refreshing. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people. To whom he said, "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing," yet they would not hear. We are sure that this refers to speaking in tongues because Paul quotes this same passage from Isaiah in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21, while discussing the subject of praying in tongues. Just as our physical bodies get tired and we rest a while, our spirit man also needs to be refreshed and rested, and we can refresh it by praying in tongues. Another way to praise and magnify God. Acts chapter 2, verse 11. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. We can praise and worship God by singing songs and spiritual hymns in a known language. But there is the other way by which we can sing songs and praises, give thanks, bless food, and so on, which is by doing it in tongues. There may be times when we would like to totally express the feelings of our heart to God but are unable to articulate it in any known language. That is when we can magnify and praise God in tongues. For those of us who have been speaking in tongues, we know by experience that often the deep matters of the heart just cannot be expressed in our own words. When we spend time praying and worshiping in tongues, we just know that we have expressed ourselves. The Holy Spirit knows how to help us do this. Enables our spirits to receive the mysteries and hidden secrets of God for our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7-16. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Very often the meaning of what we are saying is conveyed to our own spirits as we pray in tongues. One of the most important earthly decisions I made, to marry Amy, was made as I was praying in tongues. One day after I got home from college when I was studying in New Jersey, I was praying in tongues. During that time, I sensed in my spirit that I needed to write to Amy and ask her if she would be willing to consider the possibility of marrying me. I had never met Amy before that. I did not know what she looked like, she did not know what I looked like. Prior to this, we had only exchanged a few letters, since she was one of the then leaders in Manipal, India, where I had studied my undergraduate in engineering and had started a work among students there. There were several factors that I had to think about, but my spirit was convinced that this was from God. And that same day, November 22, 1993, when I was writing to Amy to ask her if she would marry me, her friend in Manipal just casually asked her, "What would you do if Ashish asked you to marry him?" As we pray in the Holy Spirit, our spirits will be able to pick up many such important decisions in life. Help stir up the gifts of God within us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. All of us believers have certain gifts placed in our lives by God. Often, we leave them dormant for a while, and we realize that we need to stir them up again. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts, to fan them aflame. What we have found by experience is that by using the most basic spiritual gift, praying in tongues, it is easy to stir up other gifts that God has placed in our lives. As we pray in tongues, we become more sensitive to the Spirit of God. We strengthen our inner man. We can overcome fear and other restraints that hinder the exercise of other spiritual gifts. Chapter 3. Prayer to receive baptism in the Holy Spirit with the ability to pray in tongues. As mentioned earlier in this book, every believer can pray in tongues. God has promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. God will pour out His Spirit even as you read this book and desire to be filled with His Spirit. The Bible says, "Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds, He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. He will give rain to every grass in the field. He will pour out His Spirit on you if you will ask Him. Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning, He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. God will come to us like the rain to bring refreshing and revival in our lives. All we must do is simply ask. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. The Bible says that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So, one does not need a pastor or a man of God to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We can just ask Jesus to baptize us, to pour out His Holy Spirit on us. As He pours out His Spirit, heavenly languages will come forth. This is what happened in the book of Acts. Every time people received the gift of the Holy Spirit, something supernatural happened. They began to worship God in tongues. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. God is ready to fulfill His promise in your life. Just ask and receive by faith. Here is a simple prayer to help you ask and receive. Prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a believer. I ask You to baptize me with the Holy Spirit, so that I can receive power to be a witness for You. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name, please pour out Your Spirit on me as You promised You would do in the last days. By faith I now receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now upon me and all His gifts that are resident with Him are in me. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Because I am a believer, I now speak with new tongues as the Spirit gives me the ability. I expect the flow of all other gifts of the Spirit through my life. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Having prayed this prayer, wherever you are, open your mouth and speak out whatever comes forth. It will be your voice, your vocal organs at work. The language will come from the Holy Spirit. You may initially feel like you are making some strange sounds. But go ahead and give voice to it. As you step out in faith, more words will begin to flow. Remember, you cannot speak two languages at the same time. So do not attempt to speak anything in your own known languages. Do not try repeating "Praise the Lord" or "Hallelujah" very fast. There is no need to do so. These will hinder the flow of the language that the Spirit desires to release. Instead, having prayed the prayer, just take the step of faith and speak in new tongues. Jesus said you would, so you will. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.